Acts in your Bibles, chapter 23. When I last spoke to you, our hero was in the clutches of disaster. They were about to tie him up and place him on the railroad track. No, that's not quite right. The great apostle Paul had been taken captive, and the Jews had tried to kill him, and so the Romans stepped in and took him into custody. He'd been beaten, he's been arrested, he's been kept from death by the Roman law, but they arrested him to do so. Chapter 23 and verse 6, the Bible tells us that he is speaking to the crowd the next day before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish body of people. The Roman captain wants Paul to stand before them so he can hear their charges against him. And in verse 6, Paul in answering says, "But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question.' And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, 'We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God.' And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.'" Let's pray. Father, as we look in your word, I ask that you'll help me to help your people. We pray, Lord, if there's anyone lost who hears this message, we pray for them to be saved. We pray for your people to be strengthened and edified and built up in the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Paul had gone through his arrest and would have been scourged had he not announced that he was a Roman citizen. And the Roman soldiers became afraid to find out that Paul was a Roman citizen. Paul was born a Roman citizen because his father had citizenship. And this was not real common among the Jews. And so it was unlawful for Roman soldiers to beat and chain and pass any sentence upon a Roman citizen without them being properly tried in court. And so Paul is in a little different situation. He does go before the Sanhedrin the next day and hears the charges against him. They're teaching that Paul is doing things he didn't do. He's not trying to destroy the law of God. He's not trying to take Gentiles into the Jewish temple during the ceremonies he was going through. These were false charges that have been brought against him. And so Paul determines that part of this group are Pharisees and part Sadducees, so he decides to seize upon this to help himself in the battle. Now, he uses this tactic. It's similar to every situation today with Muslims. They have a division among themselves. They're not in unity. The only thing they're unified about, they hate Israel and they hate America. But they don't get along with each other either. If they're not busy in war with us, they're busy blowing each other up. And the Sunnis and the Shiites, try to kill each other off. Same thing with Catholics and Baptists here in America. We don't use car bombs, but we don't get along. You know, we don't believe the same. That's where the problem lies. And within every group of people, there's the seed of division or the flame that just needs to be fanned a little bit to cause a major division because of the belief difference within the group that is gathered together. That happens politically. It happens in churches and denominations. It happens with the Jews. The Jews are the same way. They have Orthodox Jews who believe strictly the Scriptures, and they have the modern cultural Jews, just like the Muslim people have cultural Muslims who really don't know the Quran, really don't know their teachings, but they were born in a country that was controlled by that teaching, and they've grown up under it, and they adhere to it to a certain degree. And Jews are the same way. You might meet a Jewish person here in America who's never attended synagogue and doesn't know the scriptures. Brother Benzio's had a Bible study with a number of Jewish men who he's been amazed at the lack of their knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. And if they aren't raised in an Orthodox home, then they probably haven't been taught those in great detail. Now, Paul appeals to this crowd and divides them. Look at chapter 23 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "The scribes arise and say, 'We find no evil in this man.'" That's my first point to you today, that the scribes are those who keep the scriptures. They are those who know where to find passages and verses, and they would do this in a teaching manner within their duty of the synagogue, not in a preaching manner as Jesus did with them. They say, "If an angel or spirit has spoken to this man, let us not fight against God." And they're making common sense here. Their teacher Gamaliel, who was a great doctor of the law, had basically said the same thing when the apostles were taken and beaten and told not to preach in Jesus' name, that Gamaliel said the same thing, you know, lest you fight against God. Be careful of this. He said, if it's of God, then you're fighting against God. If it's not of God, it will come to naught on its own. Without all this great uproar and without all this these trials that are taking place. And these times still haven't changed in religion or politics today as well. The various groups don't get along with each other. You hear of Mormons, you think the Mormons all believe alike? Absolutely not. Did you ever hear of David Koresh? He was of the branch Davidians of the Mormon Church, a splinter group that split off from the Latter-day Saints. They didn't believe alike. They didn't act alike. I hope nobody acts like that fella did, having sexual relations with little girls and marrying little girls and all that kind of stuff. And we see that taking place in the Mormon religion as well. Catholics don't all believe alike. You find some that are called good Catholics who go to Mass and who know what their teachings are, and then you have other Catholics that never attend church and never practice any of their religious belief. You have the same thing among Baptists. You have Bible-believing Baptists like us, and then you have liberal Baptists who don't believe anything. They don't believe the Bible at all. They don't believe in the miracles. They don't believe in the trueness, the literalness of Scripture. And I don't have anything in common with somebody that doesn't believe Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Whatever label they put upon themselves, there's no unity there. Democrats, Republicans, my friends, they ain't never going to meet. All this, you know, we need to have unity and we need to have bipartisanship. That's the reason you have different parties, is you don't want bipartisanship. You don't want them all led by the same hook going down the trail to destruction where we're headed now. But you need somebody to stand up and put a halt to things and stand for what's right and what's true and what's good if it chaps the lips of Republicans or Democrats, either one. There's heartfelt beliefs that cause dissension and division among men. We're never, in the mortal words of Rodney King, we're never all going to just get along, friends. That's never going to happen. Because we don't believe alike, we're never going to be in unity with people that we don't believe like. Now, Paul seizes upon this and fans the flame of dissension theologically between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They don't believe alike, though they're all Jews. They're all in the leadership of the Jewish religion. This Roman captain was probably pretty dismayed to see how these people had all acted toward Paul, that they wanted to kill him, and now all of a sudden a group of these people are defending him and saying that, you know, if he's seen an angel or seen a spirit and has been told these things from God, we don't want to fight against God, and so we don't find any fault in him. The Sadducees only accepted the first five books of the Bible for their doctrine, the law of Moses, the first five books of Moses. That was where their total faith was from. They didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. But the Pharisees were orthodox. They believed all of the Old Testament scriptures, the law and the prophets, and the poetic books as well, the Psalms. And these Pharisees were a little more compatible toward Christianity because of this. And they were a little more understanding when Paul spoke about the resurrection from the dead. Now, in the early church, some of the Pharisees tried to hold on to both. They became believers in Christ as their Messiah, but they tried to hold strictly to the Old Testament law and force, as God opened the door to the Gentile nations, they tried to force the Gentile people to conform to that teaching. Nicodemus was one who was a teacher of the law, but he became a believer in Christ. Acts 15:5, the Bible says this, "But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses." This is what they were saying about the new Christians, what they were saying about the Gentile believers, that they had to become Jewish, that they had to follow all the Jewish rites and ceremonies and laws, and there was a division that took place because of that. We still have that kind of division today. Everybody watches Duck Dynasty and laughs at those bearded fellows, you know, and from Louisiana and all the antics that they're in. And a couple of those guys are Church of Christ preachers. They belong to the Christian denomination, which is a part of the Church of Christ. They believe you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Now, they teach and preach on television Jesus quite a lot, and I'm glad they do that. But when you nail it down, they believe that if you're not baptized, then you're not saved. And I want you to understand that's a false teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. An obedient believer will follow the Lord in believer's baptism, but you don't have to be baptized in order to go to heaven. The Pentecostals would teach people you have to speak in tongues or you're not saved. You don't have the Spirit of God. I want to say to you, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. And it's not required that you speak in tongues in order to do that. Seventh-day Adventists would say you have to follow the Sabbath or you can't go to heaven. You can't eat pork and you got to worship on Saturday, and there's a whole lot of things they say you got to do. And there are others like the Jehovah's Witnesses that have a branch of that also in teaching Sabbath worship. I can't have unity with people like that if they don't believe right. If they teach something that's contrary to the Word, they're teaching false doctrine. And it's important that we recognize what the Bible says and that we follow what the Bible says. We have a complete Bible today, and there's no excuse for these things. What one believes about Christianity should affect how they live every day, because we really are a product of our belief. Our behavior is influenced by what we believe. There are things that could be pleasurable in sin that I know I can't do because I believe what the Bible says about those things. And that governs my daily life. That directs the path that I choose. Knowing Christ and walking with God will bring guidance and direction. And the more a person knows the Bible, the more discerning they are to know what's right and what's wrong. Discernment comes from the knowledge of the Scriptures. And therein lies the rub in Christianity today. Many people just don't know the Bible well enough, and that's why they're open to all these things that are not taught in the Scripture and open to things that the Bible clearly stands against. Sadly, the number who hold to a historical, grammatical interpretation of the Scripture, which we often simply call a literal interpretation of Scripture, is not the majority of those that profess to be Christians. And because of that, it affects their behavior. We are people who believe the book. We hold to a historical, grammatical, literal interpretation. And mainline denominations today do not hold that view. Many of them hold allegorical views. Many of them confuse prophecy because they don't take a literal interpretation of the Scripture. They do not hold a premillennial view of Christ returning to set up a kingdom on this earth as the Bible teaches. And they are allegorical. And when they are allegorical in their interpretation, they often do what many mainline denominations do. They confuse Israel with the church. We have not taken over Israel's place. We have not taken over Israel's promises. We have not taken over Israel's blessings. God blesses the church, and if a Jew gets saved today, they ought to become a part of a local church. But one day, God's going to deal directly with the nation of Israel again. And there will be multitudes of them that will be saved as a result. Now, the primary point of contention is the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of salvation. What does a person believe about Christ, and what do they believe about how a person is saved? If they're off on these things, they're false prophets. They're false teachers. And those who don't teach the deity of Christ are false prophets. The contention came between the Pharisees and the Sadducees over Paul. And the chief captain steps in and brings Paul into the castle lest they would pull him apart in the two groups that were contending. Secondly, verse number 11. Christ visits Paul and reassures him that he has well done, and that as he has borne witness of Christ in Jerusalem, he will also bear witness of him in Rome. Now, how he's going to bear witness may have not been his own choice. And that was, he went there as a prisoner. The one thing about going there as a prisoner is he got a free ride. The bad thing was he was in chains. But we know the story of how Paul is the reason that the whole shipload was not destroyed at sea. It was God's preservation of him that saved the shipload of people in their journey. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll look there with me and I'll finish from here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse number 3, Paul writing at about this same time frame, 60 A.D., over what he has experienced. He's writing to Corinth. He says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." The circumstance of life Dick sang about today, not always pleasant. Often they're difficult. They're trials, they're tests that we go through. God, who comforts us in the experiences of life that we go through, enables us to comfort somebody else who goes through that also. How many times have you yourself been used of God, or someone else has been used of God to help you, who's gone through a similar circumstance that you are going through? It's women who've had the death of babies and children, and ladies' problems and cancer and things of that nature. Women who've been through those experiences can do far more to comfort them than I can as a man, as a pastor. I can give them the word. I can try to hold their hands. I can pray for them and all that. But I've never been through what they're going through. I can't say I know how you feel. But to many people who've gone through pain and surgery and sufferings of life, I can say to them, I do understand how you feel. I have had a similar circumstance. I've experienced pain. I've had operations. I've had broken bones. I've been shot and run over and cut and run down. And you know, I know some of those things. Paul, he says, you'll go to Rome and you'll be a witness of me as you have been in Jerusalem. The longevity of ministry of Paul is controlled by the fact that he is usable to God as a witness of Christ. My friends, you and I are fruit trees for God, and if we're producing fruit for God, there is no reason for God to cut us down and throw us into the fire. If we're producing for Him, He wants to keep us around. If we're doing good, if we're living for Him, if we're being a witness for Him, He may keep us around for a long time because we're usable to Him. So thirdly, the question today, do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Would you stand with the Sadducees or the Pharisees? Would you stand with Paul or would you stand with the Romans? Is our behavior matching what we say we believe? Is our daily life guided by the Bible and what the Bible teaches? If it is, we can be comforted, be assured, because we have a great future promised to us, a promise of rewards. Now remember, the time of rewards for soldiers is not when the battle is taking place. When the soldier's in battle, it's time for him to have his needs met, to be supplied with what he needs. But it's not until the battle's over that the rewards are given out. In Vietnam, as a combat marine, we served 60-day missions in the jungle at a time on search and destroy. We leave a base area, flown out in choppers and dropped off in the jungle somewhere, and then we'd go for hours and days and set up a short camp overnight and then go again the next day. And we would start with 6 days of everything. 6 days of rations, 6 canteens full of water, about 20 magazines of bullets and 1,000 rounds of ammunition, and about 65 or 70 pounds on a pack that you put on your back to go into the jungle with. And you had enough stuff to last you for a few days. So you had to be resupplied in the jungle. They would hover a helicopter over us and drop a couple of 55-gallon barrels and take off so they didn't get shot. And we'd open those 55-gallon barrels and there'd be rounds in one and clothes in one and food in another. Food was those little canned, what's called sea rations. And we would open those with a John Wayne can opener, you know. And that's what we lived on, 2 meals a day, 60 days in the jungle. At the end of that 60 days, we'd go back to some rear area for a week to 10 days until another mission was established. And I remember my first mission, when we came back, we set up at a bridge. And we made an encampment at the bridge, and we got a guy that volunteered to be our cook. And we actually had a hot meal every day, and we had sea rations once a day. And the captain came and said, I want you guys to fall in. We're going to have a presentation here today. Well, that was not common in a war zone for you to get in a big group and gather together and stand at attention and all that kind of stuff. But we got on the road, goes into the bridge, and we got to attention, and a helicopter landed, and a general got off the helicopter. And he came over to one of our sergeants, and he pinned a silver star on him. He had distinguished himself, saved the lives of several men, pulled them to safety under fire. He was wounded in the process. He was back with the unit, and that whole thing that day was to reward that man for his faithful service. That's going to pale into comparison one day when you stand before Jesus Christ and He rewards you for your faithful service to Him. Well done, good and faithful servants. Christ stood with Paul that night to reassure him. God supplied all of Paul's needs throughout his life. But it was when he went home to heaven that he got his reward. And that reward waits for all those who love His appearing. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, and we invite you to come. If you need someone to counsel with you, pray with you. If you're not sure you're saved, we want you to know how today before you leave this place. Father, we give you this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.